CliffCentral.com.
I love it. The Weeknd featuring Daft Punk. I feel it coming. What's that, Sia?
We don't know what that it is, but it sounds fantastic. It sounds dirty. Weeknd does it.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit dirty.
Russian bride.
You think so?
Yep. Hey, think he feels a Russian bride coming.
All right. Let's get Aiden in here. Let's talk to him about his story. This sounds like the kind of story that'll make your Monday feel inspirational. You'll feel good after this. You know, I looked at it last night and I thought, oh no, I don't want to talk about brain cancer first thing on a Monday morning. But when I read the story, I was blown away at just very few people survive this. You're a survivor, dude. Look at you.
Yeah, thank you.
How are you, Aiden?
I'm very good, thanks. And you?
Yeah, you're looking good. You're looking healthy. You're looking fit. You walked in here on your own. Now because the part of your brain that was affected by this has to do with balance. Yes, the cerebellum,
yes,
right?
True, yes.
It's right at the back there.
Yes.
And that was where you had the injury, and that was where you developed the tumor.
Well, the tumor wasn't created from the injury.
They were not linked?
No, it wasn't. The injury merely just brought it up. We got to see it because of the injury. The doctors told us it had been growing there for about 5 years before.
So you could have had this when you were like 10?
Yes. That's what they told us.
Gee, I mean, there might be other people out there who have these these tumors growing in their brains.
Definitely.
So, dude, let's just start with you're now 16, right?
Yes.
Okay. 16 years old. You've got this amazing life story. I mean, 16 years just seems to me to be too few to have poured in the amount of experiences that you've had to go through. But you seem very together. Are you just grateful that you managed to survive this brain cancer?
Oh, yes. Obviously, I am. I mean, I'm grateful for every day that comes. And I've told lots of people this. I treat it like my last, usually. I mean, all the times. And yeah, I'm just happy for where I am at the moment. Never complain.
So, I mean, you were at school and you were living a pretty normal life. You weren't different to your friends in any way. You guys would play, as you said, touch rugby and the rest of it. And it was because you got hurt in a game like that that you eventually did go to the hospital and they found this thing.
Yes.
But, I mean, do you feel like... But I think sometimes our brains are so, not just our brains, our whole bodies, everything about us, we're so fragile, right?
Yes.
And you only realize it, you only get to grips with how fragile and weak we are as creatures when you see how much can go wrong. But then you have to realize how resilient we are too, because your
Definitely.
Story is exactly that. It's a story of resilience.
Definitely.
So tell me about the first couple of days after you discovered that you had this tumor.
Well, the first day when I had the concussion, obviously I went to the hospital straight after. And you
were out for like 5 minutes, right?
Yes.
You were totally out.
Yes. Knocked out cold. And obviously after that, like you said, we went to the doctor, had an x-ray, and the x-ray was clear.
Can I just say,
yes.
You know, touch rugby, you're not meant to hurt yourself.
Yes.
Right. I mean, I don't know if you're playing it right. Touch rugby, you're not meant to actually hurt yourself.
What happened? We were playing touch, and then my mate said, let's play semi-contact. And that ended in that.
Jeez. Mm. All right, now hang on. So you go to hospital.
Yes.
And what happens then?
I had the x-ray, which only shows bone.
Right, so no problem on the x-ray.
No problem on the x-ray.
Okay.
What they found was a small fracture on my thumb, and that's okay. It. So we left it. We
and like, you felt all right?
Oh, at that moment, I did. And later in the year, probably about 4 or 5 months after that, I had like bad headaches almost every day. Vomiting.
Can you describe those headaches? I mean, most of us, when you have a headache, it's like, you know, I drank too much last night or something. So explain to me how your headache felt.
Oh, it did feel almost like a normal headache, but it was, how I can explain it, inside my head. Like, I honestly can't describe it in words. And there was a whooshing sound in my ear, obviously from the tumor blocking the brain fluid. And yeah, after about 4 or 5 months after the concussion, I still had these major headaches, these vomiting, nausea, all that, wishing in my ear. And finally, we went to the doctor. And the doctor immediately put me in the hospital the next day. And on about 2 or 3 days after that, while I was in hospital, we went for an MRI scan. And what an MRI scan does, it sees everything, not just bone. It looks like into your whole body.
Tissues and everything.
Tissue,
right?
Everything, yes. And that's where they found the brain tumor.
So Aiden, this tumor that you had was huge. It was like 5 centimeters across.
Yes.
That's like, what's that, the size of a golf ball?
Is that accurate? Yes. Size of a golf ball?
Yes, I think it is, yeah.
This unwanted, like this parasitic thing living in your head.
Shucks.
On your cerebellum. Putting pressure on the rest of the brain.
Yes.
It's not an easy thing to get rid of those. It's not an easy thing to operate
yes,
on, right?
Yes, definitely, yes.
So did you freak out? Were you thinking of the tickets? I'm done?
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was over for me. But obviously I had family, friends keeping me positive the whole time. So I can't just say I did it myself. I can say easily I did it because of the help of people around me.
But it's still, I mean, it's a frightening thing. I mean, you must have been really, really upset. You must have cried a lot of times.
Yes.
You must have gone to sleep every night worrying whether you'd wake up or not.
Yes. I was 14 at the time, so obviously my brain wasn't that strong, if you understand. Like,
oh, sure.
Yeah. So I easily broke down many times, usually every night I cried. Yeah.
It's horrible.
Mm.
But obviously, you know, you've made it, so we can look back on this now without having to be too sad.
Yes.
We should be, you know, inspired and motivated by the whole thing. But when you go into that operation, and I mean, there must have been one or two.
There were 3 operations.
Right.
Yes.
Now, they have to do some very, very complicated things. First of all, the cerebrospinal fluid.
Yes.
They have to be able to evacuate some of that.
Yes.
So they put a drain in the back of your head, I'm sure.
They put it in the front. I'm not sure if you can see, but there's a scar right here.
No.
Can you see it?
No, it's gone. You're not good at pointing out scars.
And there's also one on the side over here.
Yeah.
And what that did, like you said, it drained the brain fluid.
Yeah.
To make sure the major operation, the main operation was easy. Because if there was pressure, it could have ended fatal.
Right.
Yes.
And especially in that part of the brain, because, you know, the cerebellum's just behind the brain stem, and the brain stem is kind of where all your autonomic nervous system stuff happens. So your heartbeat and, you know, the breathing and all of that stuff. You've got to be really careful not to mess around in that area.
Definitely.
But the cerebellum itself, I mean, you've become kind of an expert in the brain, right? Because now you've had to learn these things. So the cerebellum, what is it? There's balance. What else does it do?
Balance, eyesight, talking.
Yeah.
Motor, I'm not sure how to say this.
Movement.
Motor movement.
Activities.
There we go. Yeah. All that.
So all of that stuff is controlled by the cerebellum.
Yes.
So it's not like you can just cut it out and carry on. You'll be fine.
Yeah. It leads to problems after, because I still to this day have double vision. So if I look at you like this, then I see 2.
Oh, really?
Yes. And my speech is a bit slurred, so I'll
sound all right to me.
It's very small now, but when I was in hospital, I was like talking like that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So tell me about these ops, though.
Well, the EVD, which drained the brain fluid out, what we did was they put a drain in, obviously, and kept that in for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And after a week, they said we need to put another one in, because obviously my body was pushing it out.
Mm-hmm.
So we put another one on this side. And then a week after that, my body pushed it out. And then I was clear for the major operation. And they wheeled me into theater.
How long were you in for?
9 hours. Yeah.
Oh. And you must have had some pretty smart doctors working on you.
Yes.
Specialist neurosurgeons, right?
Yes, I did.
And they got this goddamn tumor.
Yes.
Did they get it all out in that 9 hours?
No, they didn't. They had to leave a small piece behind because it was on a nerve.
Yeah.
And if they cut that, that would obviously end in more problems. And so they left it behind. And after a few months after that, I did radiation.
And that took the rest of it away?
Yes. And chemo.
Jeez, dude. And chemo and radiation, that's not fun.
Yes, it isn't.
That was worse than any of the other stuff.
I have to admit that.
So how long were you on chemo and how long did you do the radiation therapy?
The radiation was 6 weeks long. And then while I was, because I wasn't taking chemo through the vein, I was taking tablets.
Oh, yeah?
Which luckily enough didn't pull my hair out. It didn't take my hair out. It didn't make me as sick as the vascular one.
And just remember, while we're telling this story, you were 14.
Yes.
I mean, no 14-year-old should have to go through all this stuff, right?
Yes.
It seems very unfair.
Mm.
But you didn't allow yourself to feel sorry for yourself.
No, right? I didn't. Funny enough, while I was in hospital, we didn't call it a brain tumor. When our parents came around, we called it a skipper poo.
Because I was going to say you call it Frank. You know, you kept it afterwards in a bottle next to your bed. None of that, right? Yeah, but I mean, dude, you have to find a way to laugh about this stuff.
Yes, yes. And we always find laughs and jokes about it here and there. So God
damn. I'm very impressed that you managed to make it through the radiation and the chemo. Forget about the rest of it.
Yes.
But now you're clear.
Yes.
There's nothing.
Nothing.
And the brain has obviously, that space that the tumor had occupied, is that starting to fill out with normal?
Yes. My recent scan in November.
Yeah.
They showed clear They showed my brain obviously filling up. Yes.
Now, reconnecting. I mean, do you know anything about how those nerves are creating new connections?
No, I can't say.
Because this is something we don't know a lot about. Right?
Yes, yeah. I think it's just, I really can't say. I honestly don't know. I don't want to say the wrong thing.
No, you're not the professor. Yeah. I'm not going to interrogate you like a professor of neuroscience. I'm just interested because we do know so little about the brain, despite the fact that we're learning new stuff every day.
Yes.
It's still the most complicated organ we've got, right?
Yes, definitely.
And I suppose when things go wrong there, the results are pretty terrible. What other after effects have you got besides the double vision sometimes?
Double vision, speech, and my balance. My balance is horrible.
So you're not going to be doing tightrope walking?
No.
You sure about that?
Yes.
All right. Well, listen, dude. I mean, for people who are going through all kinds of things that they think are so difficult, because it does give you perspective. And I'm sorry that this had to happen to you. It's nobody's fault, right?
No, it was a learning curve for me. It was, like I've said in many speeches before, it's just a bump in the road for me.
You're going around now and you do motivational speeches for everybody else.
Yes, for the Pink Phoenix Foundation.
Tell me about the Pink Phoenix Foundation.
Well, what I am, I'm an ambassador for the Pink Phoenix Hands Foundation. Yeah. And what they're doing is a Kids for Life program.
All right.
Which specifically helps kids who are struggling with cancer and funding the cancer treatment. And
if we want to know more, where can we go?
We can go to on Facebook. There's a page there for the Pink Phoenix Cancer Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
On Twitter, it's at Pink Phoenix SA.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would like to donate to the Pink Phoenix Cancer Foundation, you can just SMS Pink Phoenix to 49242. And you'll donate 20 Rand to the
Very good.
Yes.
So we should all do that.
Yeah.
Well, dude, you're a survivor. Look at you. You got your whole life ahead of you. You managed to beat cancer at the age of 14, so you're like a superhuman. And who knows? You may just develop superpowers as a result. Could happen.
Yeah.
You never know. The brain is an interesting organ. And I'm very pleased you came to share this with us this morning. How your family all dealing with it?
Oh, they're all during hospital, obviously, it was very difficult. But at the moment, everyone's just fine. We don't think about it that much. We don't say, oh, you survived cancer. We just
get on with your
everything
life.
Everything is normal, yeah.
Wow.
Everything is normal.
Wow. It makes everybody else's little problems about money or having a, you know, case of the flu or worrying about what you're going to do with your, I don't know, your day today, what you're going to do with your public holiday tomorrow. Mm. It makes all of that stuff seem so stupid, right?
Yeah.
What do you think you want to do with your life? Where are you going to go?
Well, I'm thinking about that at the moment. I'm in grade 11 at the moment, and I still haven't thought about it properly to know what I'm going to do. But obviously, I think about it all the time. Not sure where I'm going to go there, so I might travel the world maybe when I'm older.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds really
sounds
fun.
Good.
Yeah.
Maybe you should become a neurosurgeon.
I was actually thinking about that after when I left hospital.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, you don't want to go back there in a hurry, I'm sure.
No.
Even if it was as a doctor.
Yes.
All right, listen, it's a pleasure to meet you, Aidan.
You too.
Thank you for coming to share your story with us.
Aidan
Milam, and you can find out more by going to pinkphoenix.co.za. They obviously do amazing work there. And I'm always pleased to hear stories that have a happy ending. Good for you. Good for your family.
Thank you very much.
And I wish you the best of luck, Dan.
You too.
Come back and visit us in a while and tell us how things are going.
Of course.
All right,
thank
dude.
You.
What a pleasure.
Thank
Isn't
you.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
What a story.
It actually puts everything into perspective on a Monday.
Well, see ya. Don't play touch rugby is the first thing.
Wow. Listen, folks. That is...
Are you not going
to... Not going to happen just
not
in a general
to,
sense.
To play any kind of touch rugby anytime.
Maybe not.
All right. All right. Very good. We're going to come back in a moment or two. We got some other stuff to talk about that's in the news. And I don't know if you heard... Did you listen to my interview with Andre the Hilarious Hypnotist the other day?
Mm-hmm.
And what did you
what
think?
What does he call himself? The most famous... non-recognizable star.
Yeah,
I'm paraphrasing.
Like
yeah.
Something like that. He's very cool, though. If you missed any of those interviews, including some of the ones that we recorded before I left for America, you can find them all on cliffcentral.com. You know where to get your dose of the good stuff. Like it. Que te para. It's the weirdest music video.
Honestly.
It's like this 1950s, 60s theme park thing.
Meets the Jetsons.
Yeah, very weird. She's so weird. Ben says if Katy Perry didn't have the boobs she has, we wouldn't even know who she was.
Well, maybe not the exact word.
Don't back out of this.
Yeah, come on, Ben.
Life's about proof. You have none of that.
Oh, you have two people vouching
for something. Are you kidding? I've
been recording
everything. I've recorded everything.
Well, her music just sounds, it's got to the point where if it's not crazy music videos, then what is it really? Because, I mean, like, you could have played that song, it could have been any one of 75 artists.
No, that's true.
See, I Kissed a Boy days were good. And then
I Kissed a Girl. That was what made it interesting.
Oh, sorry.
So, but that's the thing, like,
I'm talking about my perspective, yeah.
But back then, she was edgy because she hated her parents. Whereas now, it's like, ugh, got to do another album. Okay, fine, I'll put my face on.
Listen,
in 5 minutes.
Speaking of people putting their face on, have we got a Misha Barton update? Because I know we were following her very closely not so long ago.
Many faces of Misha Barton.
Shame. No, she's really, what a sad story.
I think this
proves to you fame and money will not solve all your problems.
I think it was the last time we heard about it. She hired a van to move apartments.
Yes.
She then drove that van into a wall.
And she was busy shouting and screaming at the neighbors
the
whole time.
And not just any wall. She drove into her new building.
Yeah.
That's what made it sad.
So she's got problems.
She is now filing a restraining order against two of her ex-boyfriends, rather. This is kind of complicated, but the overall theme is it's just sad. So get ready to shake your head in pity as I tell you this. So Misha Barton once dated a guy named John Zacharias. And John, during their relationship, which was only a couple of months anyway, recorded some footage of them having sex and also of Misha Barton taking a shower. And what do you think John is trying to do now?
He's trying to sell it.
Absolutely. For $500,000.
Oh, that's outrageous. Who would want it? Come on.
So that is what...
Do you think someone would pay that for Misha Barton footage?
I don't know.
I think we're the only people in the whole world talking
about
Misha Barton
still.
Just us. And we're not paying $500,000 for that.
And by the way, we're not talking about her because we're fascinated by her. We're talking about her because it's sad.
But this is honestly just so sad.
$500,000 for Misha Barton shower footage.
Yes, and some sex footage as well. So what do you think Misha does in her rational mind to curb this? She goes... how do I get this footage? Let me date John's best friend. And John's best friend is going to make me, help me somehow.
Hang on. So John's best friend, the plan is that She'll date his friend.
Yes.
His friend will steal the footage off of
Absolutely.
John.
Absolutely. Yes. So that's what she does. She starts dating a guy named Adam Shaw, who's BFFs with her former ex, John. Wow. But what does that guy do instead?
He films another video.
No. Goes even sadder and lower and starts forging Misha Barton's signature. So now they're all these checks with Misha Barton's fake signature on
them.
She's
got no money, though.
Oh, man. Misha Barton, as if you didn't have enough problems in the world.
Horrible story. I feel bad for her.
Yeah.
I've got to be honest with you. I feel very bad for this woman.
But you got to, the question's got to be asked here. When is Ryan Seacrest going to throw out the reality TV show? Because he's probably going, well,
no.
I mean, her stock's going so low, I could probably get the show for free.
Do you know, so now she's fighting for a restraining order against both of these guys and to have the footage of her having sex with her ex and also her in the shower not
released. I feel bad for her. I almost want to rescue the poor woman. If I were a billionaire, I would rescue people like Misha Barton. I'd buy the footage from this dude. I'd destroy it and I'd say to her, you've got a fresh start, honey. Go out there. Start again.
Yeah, and then she'll want to borrow your car and then she'll drive.
No, that's it. She doesn't know. She doesn't know me. She doesn't know where it comes from. I don't want anything from her. I would just bail her out of this shit situation that she's in and let her start again. Don't you think it would be nice?
It's a lovely idea, but some people just love to live in shit. She'll make a fresh situation. She'll have money. Then she'll go, right, now I'm really going to show these dickheads. And then she'll go back to the same people and then it'll try to date the third guy in the group of friends. Just to prove a point.
Tips for Misha Barton. Number one, get a United Nations campaign right now. Everyone loves someone who sides with the UN.
Yeah.
Number two.
Work for Angelina. I mean, remember when everyone hated her and they loved Jennifer Aniston?
No one thought of Angie as a homewrecker.
Yeah.
Number two, sign on to a Disney movie. Everyone loves a good animation.
Yeah, I don't think Disney will touch her, though.
Yeah, after the United Nations, you see, it's like a little nice sweep.
No.
And then number three, sit at home, cross your legs and close your mouth. Done. Misha Barton will live happily ever after.
See, you should be you're like Mary Poppins.
I'm here helping her out.
Yeah, you have all the answers.
You give her money, I help her.
It's just odd that the United Nations campaign is the easiest thing to do there.
Yeah, you could easily do that. For her to cross her legs and shut up, that's going to be the tough part. Wow.
All right,
where's Lucas? I need Lucas to come in. He came in with a great suggestion. Just come in here quickly. He has an idea of what kind of...
Oh, bra Lucas.
For some reason, Bill Cosby came up this morning. What is the job you suggested he should do?
I think he should become a barman.
That would be the single worst job in the world for Bill Cosby.
Bob's Bar.
Yeah, Bob's Bar. Like, if we can start a franchisee called Bob's Bar.
No.
And there's got to be a crusty old man behind the bar. And there's a whole bunch of bottles behind.
Why Bob? Bill.
Yeah.
Bill's Bar. Bill's Bar. Yeah.
It'd be kind of funny that his entire bar, there's no labels in the bottles. it's generic house brand.
And you go there and you take your chances. You walk into the bar and it's like spinning the wheel. You don't know what's going to happen.
Like, you don't know what you're drinking. He just decides for
you. I'll take care of you. You look like a number 43 with a bit of number 2 and a 64.
And when you come on Thursday, sorry, man, it's only ladies' night today. Guys are allowed on Thursday.
It'd be interesting, Bob, because men would just get beer. Yeah, it's a beer. Take a beer.
Yeah, with men, he couldn't give a shit.
He'd waste a lot of time pouring. So he'd take a beer.
With the women, I'll go on the top shelf for you.
You want to sit in a VIP lounge?
Which is his lab.
VIP lounge. Right here, honey.
There's like a roped off area on his lap.
Drinks on me.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Listen, Ben's got new headphones. Where did you get those?
I've got like 4 or 5 that I rotate.
Oh, okay. But you just get bored with them? I've used the same pair of headphones my whole life.
No, you don't. You get new headphones like 6 months.
No, but the same make. You use different ones. You had wooden ones on here the other day.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
very hipster.
Yeah.
Sometimes he goes ones, which actual are very, earphones.
Yeah, sometimes earbuds. He just uses the earbuds.
Yeah. And then I've got noise-canceling ones, but they hurt my ears.
Wow. I got to tell you something.
Did you just have a eureka moment?
There was a display of Sennheiser stuff at the at South by Southwest.
Wow. Right. Look, those are expensive.
Yes, but they had, they had a pair of noise cancelling. The most amazing sound in these headphones. They cost a huge amount of money. I took a picture of them. I can look up the price for you if you want. It's like $390 or whatever. Jeez, yeah. They were good.
I once saw them for $7,000 in SA, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Maybe we just could amazing. Give it a pass.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah. $399.95. They're called PXC 550 wireless headphones.
Oh, hot damn. Check the design. The thing I like about them, the design is clean and simple, doesn't have a lot of things.
But that pad on the outside, if you, it's like a mouse pad.
Yeah.
If you move your hand down, it turns down the volume. If you move your hand up, it turns up the volume. If you go left and right, you can swap songs. You skip to the next song. Isn't that amazing?
Sure.
Huh? Look at those things.
Yeah, those are beautiful.
Gorgeous. I almost bought them. They also had 3D printers for sale there.
Imagine sitting in a bus just busy doing this.
Yeah, because
okay, stroking yourself in a bath is not the vision.
No, a bus.
A bus.
Sorry, I heard bath. Like, no. So come like, on. Why would I want to take a shower with that? Like,
wow.
Well, I would personally.
They had a couple of things. That, did I tell you about NASA? NASA had a whole display there as well, and they were talking about their planned, you know, trips to Mars, these new planets, these exoplanets they've discovered,
mm-hmm.
The kinds of satellites that they're launching at the moment, the sorts of things that they're looking at. Fascinating stuff. Woo, happy International Day of Happiness, people. Bra Lucas's laugh is infectious. Keep him laughing at CliffCentral.com. That's from Chocolatina.
Bra then Lucas.
Ntebe says, live your dream. Weza, that guy, says, opportunities don't happen, you create them. Get fired up for the week. He's so right. Those guys are always so positive. I love them. And Steve says, welcome back. Nice of you, Steve. Thank you very much. Here's Lynn, who says, I have been reading Sapiens, and I thought the description on page 337 of the pros and cons of colonialism is apt in the light of the Helen Ziller situation. Too much to type out, but worth the read if you have time and the inclination. So if you have the book Sapiens, which I've recommended over and over again, mm-hmm. In fact, I would say Sapiens has got to be one of the best books I've read in 10 years. It's that good. If you haven't read it yet, you are wasting time. Get into it.
What else are you currently reading? What's like your top three
right now? What am I busy with at the moment? Let me just see, because I keep a list of these things. I'm trying to read a lot. I read some on the plane on the way there and back, but I actually watched a few movies, which mm-hmm. I'm excited about.
It's somewhere there.
Yeah, I can't find it now. I haven't opened a new book for a little while. I'm trying to also read through some of the stuff that I heard at South by Southwest from some of the speakers there. They had books that they'd also all written. So there's what's the bloody thing called? You caught me off guard in this.
No, it's going to annoy you because right in the tip of your tongue.
I'll remember later.
Yeah.
I met the woman who invented Grace Note. You know that system that allows you to categorize and do the album cover art and all that stuff on iTunes. Basically, it collects artist and title and all of that info.
Yes.
Yeah, a woman called Anne Greenberg from Grace Note.
I'd like to know what the collective net worth of everyone who went to South by Southwest is. Like,
well, I mean, it's not all. Those are the impressive people who spoke.
But these are people who've created things who are innovative.
I think they
might not be billionaires, but you know, they've sold.
You'd be talking about a lot of money, but I think a lot of the people who attend, some of the people just attend for the day. For example, you could buy a day pass for like $40 or whatever it is. And then you could just be a fan of, you know, Matthew McConaughey, for example, and he's there talking about a movie. So a lot of people come in on that basis, and they don't necessarily have to be in that whole community.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. Like, Austin is just such a weird place. It's so different to the rest of Texas.
But that in itself, the entire situation of South by Southwest is the fact that it's so diverse and wide. You know, I follow a bunch of different people for different reasons.
And you saw a bunch of them were there?
Yeah, it's very interesting. There's this young speaker, Kwame Rose, who's like this Black Lives Matter activist, and he was there. I was like, hold up, what is he doing there? You know, that actress from Brooklyn Nine-Nine was there. Mm-hmm. So you met her.
Yeah, I must get that interview for us. It's on my phone.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So there are lots of very cool people. By the way, I see G-Man the Ad Man here is busy telling us about his show coming up this week, which, of course, is, I think, Tuesday.
Wednesday,
yes. G-Man the Ad Man. And then I saw Liron Segev, who used to do our tech show here.
The techie guy.
That's right. And Liron is currently, he lives in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
And he went to South by Southwest as well. So I bumped into him and we had a nice chat. Who else did I see? Lots of South Africans, actually.
Uh-huh.
There were a couple of people from businesses as diverse as Old Mutual and AfriHost, and some companies just right down the road from here. Very cool.
No horrible or cringeworthy drunk stories this time around.
No, I did stupidly on the flight there. I left my watch in the pouch of the seat in front of me, and I lost it. So I lost my Apple Watch. I got to get a new one of those. Yeah. Dumb.
Airline can't.
No, I tried. You report it and then they say they'll look for it. And look, they're very good.
Yeah.
They got back to me, but they said they couldn't find it. So I don't know. I know I left it in the seat, so obviously it's been stolen.
That wasn't you drunk, though?
No. Hell no.
I don't know. You have to ask these things once in a while. Who knows? No.
But it's that was the only stupid thing I did on the whole trip, which is good.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's not a bad record, as stupid goes. All right. Ben, you had something else you wanted to bring up this morning.
Yeah, there was online classifieds, Craigslist, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a guy who is asking for a certain service. Now, we had a very similar story a couple months back about an old man wanting a guest for Coachella.
Yes.
And then she must go with him and do certain things.
Ooh, yeah, this is going to be a nasty
to keep him
story,
company, but it sounded a bit
weird. She must hold his hand and then not talk to any of the guys. Okay, well, here we go. This one's slightly more interesting and slightly less dodgy, I think. Okay, let me start by saying I am a professional. I own my own business. I have a college degree. I'm 62 years old, very healthy, happy, and active. I love life and have a very positive attitude towards things. I'm 6 foot tall, just over 100 kilograms, kind, considerate, progressive, with a college degree. I live in a great place. I have had a weekly massage from the same woman for the last several years. It has been very sweet and sensual.
Mm-hmm.
We would meet for an hour and a half. Okay, so he seems like a nice guy.
He's
introduced himself as someone who can be trusted and that he has had a working relationship with a woman in a massage capacity. He then goes on to say, we developed a very nice friendship and I looked forward to seeing her every Monday morning. I would set up my massage table in my spare room. She would come with sheets and lotion and music. She never used a sheet to cover me. She had great hands. And yes, she would usually make me finish. If you know what I mean. It was very positive. It never felt wrong. She had a boyfriend. I had a girlfriend. We kept our relationship limited. Sadly, she is leaving to do yoga in the California sun, and I am without my weekly massage. I know chances are slim here on Craigslist, but I'm seeking a replacement. Could you be her? I know this isn't for everyone. You'd need to be very open-minded and have to feel comfortable. I'm easy to get along with and would definitely make you feel comfortable. Please write and introduce yourself. A photo would be awesome. Thank you. So basically, this guy is throwing a very open-ended request. If you are happy for happy-ending massages, this man needs one once a week.
I think that sounds good.
That is how he lives a happy and positive life.
He's got very specific requirements. He doesn't want a relationship. She must just come around, massage, finish him off every day.
Every Monday.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, well, that's a good way to start your week.
So he has a girlfriend. He's a respectable business owner. He's got a college degree. He would just really love you to knock one off every Monday morning for him.
That's being honest.
The story just makes me sad.
Why?
Simply because he really went through the effort of listing this. You know, the way he wrote it was so eloquent.
Well, he doesn't want to sound particular. Like... Imagine if he just cut to the chase and said, I just want a hand job every Monday. Here's how much I'm willing to pay. What kind of clientele would he attract?
Yeah.
If he says, if he tells his story, he engages you a little bit. It's almost like a first impression.
He wants a massage relationship rather than just a hand job.
Then why as well, at the same time, do you need someone to do that for? No, just...
Mm-mm. Because, yeah, this is what... It's like, why do you wear black clothing?
Well, because black is just dope.
But that's what you've established in your life. This guy's realized that being finished off in a massage once a week is what keeps him him.
Oh, no.
Without it, he isn't himself.
He needs this.
With no sheets, and then you...
See ya. It's perfectly reasonable. Listen, people have sex with each other for less.
You know, good for him, but you have to say there's like a 3% of pity there, personally, from me.
This is a guy, he's obviously working hard, he's got a good relationship, he's got a balanced life. He just needs this thing on a Monday.
It's released. You know, people have tension in all over their body. Like, yeah. Some people go, oh, my neck. This guy's going, oh, my penis, whatever it may be.
Yeah. Oh.
Everyone's got their errors.
And someone, I can promise you now, somebody's going to answer that ad. And they'll get paid very handsomely for the duty.
Remember how earlier we were saying everyone has their price?
Yeah, everybody has their price.
Exactly. Someone's going, Mondays. Yeah, they're quite free. Yeah, okay. My name is.
Yeah. I can clear my schedule up.
All right. I think that's very reasonable. You know, what's the point of earning money if you aren't going to spend it on things that make you happy?
Whatever they may be.
Yeah. For this guy, that's what he needs on a Monday morning. And I would challenge anyone who's on their way into work today.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who doesn't feel like Monday. Tell me you wouldn't prefer to have a massage and
right
a happy
now.
Ending.
Yeah. Right.
Tell me the truth.
Because he probably worked it out, right? Okay, I've got a business. I've got people who I hire. They're going to give me shit on Monday. They need more money. Their family is horrible, whatever. I want to go in there and be able to deal with that. How am I going to do that with this massage?
And let's be honest. We're all men here this morning. You think much more clearly as a guy.
I'd prefer to stay
on
Monday
like
that.
Yeah. Come on.
I don't have the luxury to, but I prefer it.
Wouldn't it be nice?
I hear you, but it's still... See, I'm just like, you're 62. That's my dad's age. My dad is now on a Craigslist. And it's just like, I've been married for so long. I love my wife, but... Oh.
By the way, you asked me about books.
Yes.
So here's what I'm reading at the moment.
Ah, okay.
I'm reading a book called The Science About Love and Betrayal, which is fascinating. It's by a professor, Robin Dunbar, and it was actually recommended to me by Gil Ovid from the Creative Council. So I'm reading that. He gave me the book. Then I've just finished Dan Ariely's Predictably Irrational, which is all about human behavior, particularly consumer behavior, and Thomas Sowell's Intellectuals and Society. Thomas Sowell is a very, very well-respected African-American intellectual at universities across America. I think he's currently at, I think he might be at Harvard.
Oh.
But anyway, he's written this book called Intellectuals and Society, which I've just started, and I couldn't remember what it was called.
So do you ever just read fiction?
Mm-mm.
Why?
It doesn't do anything for me.
Huh.
I'm just not interested. I don't say, I've got plenty of imagination. The world is very exciting. I come on. What are you reading?
This is so pathetic. I just read the introduction of the Steve Jobs book by Walter, forgot his surname.
But this is the one that Jobs gave him carte blanche.
Huge,
right.
One.
That must be fascinating.
But that's
right?
Why I just said just the introduction.
Okay, but that's fine.
Whoa,
I mean, you started.
I need a little breather.
Now, that is an interesting guy.
You know, just talking about the introduction, he was, you know, detailing how it came to be and how it was a bit of a tug of war for Jobs to actually say yes, and how Jobs actually like offered this to the author Walter years ago, and the author said no, it's not ready, and but just chronicling the entire process of how the book finally came to be. So I don't know, I've never been like a Steve Jobs, oh my goodness, I bow down to Apple type of person. But I watched one of the movies they did on Steve Jobs a couple of months ago. Not the one with Ashton Kutcher. There was another one.
Okay,
and that stars Kate Winslet.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, he was actually...
So was Leonardo DiCaprio Steve Jobs then?
No, I think it was like Michael Fassbender, if I'm not mistaken.
Kate Winslet does movies without him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And what I actually noticed was that this guy was actually kind of crazy, but he reminded me to like, reminded me of like a mad scientist where there's like method to his madness, where it's either you believe in his vision or you're out. Like, he's not going to pussyfoot and try to beg you and, you know, bring you onto believing in what he's about. So that's why I've now picked up the book. But yeah, it's quite a big read. Really, really thick little situation.
I want to read that book. When you're done with it, pass it on.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Let's see. Yeah.
Ben, do you get to read?
Gareth, I used to, but nowadays I feel quite consumed with content that I'm either creating or going over. So I'm online far too much. I need to make the step away from it.
Do you know, because this year I'm trying to make a concerted effort to read more.
It's very important.
Particularly because I've thought about how many times or how much actually of my day is spent in front of a screen.
It's terrible.
Whether it's a TV screen, our laptops, or our phones. It's like, what is 30 minutes in a day to just actually not look into something listening in front of you?
But there's something interesting about when you're reading a book, right? Like the last book I read and actually finished, because I get through halfway through books, I get very bored.
Mm-hmm.
The last book I finished was Freddie Mercury's Life Story. That story kind of sticks with me a lot more than, I don't know, a documentary I watched 2 days ago. Because when you read something, you've got to imagine certain things.
Yeah.
And the things really start to stick because you give it more thought. Whereas you watch something, it's been kind of just thrown at you. So you take it into a certain degree.
Yeah.
That's why reading is so important.
And I've been telling myself if I do a book a month, then I'm good. And so far I've done that. So, yeah.
Look, Sia's on a year of yes.
Year of yes.
You're doing a bunch of cool stuff.
Well, that's the entire reason why I started this as well. Because Year of Yes is a book, which I read in Jan. So I was like, okay, let's try this out.
What is the goal for March? Have you done it already?
Goal for March, I hiked up Lion's Head.
Okay, so what's April?
April, maybe I might take Ben's offer up on the whole Harley Davidson ride. And Ben actually offered to be the one who's like steering it. I didn't want to use that term because it's like both of us. Well, anyway, I'll just be at the back and just snap a selfie. Then that'll be good.
Look, I mean, your year of yes might traumatize me, but you know what, Sia? I'm a nice person.
What's traumatizing about that?
It's because you're going to hold on to me, dig your fingers into me, no doubt. You're going to be screaming and wailing like a banshee.
That's a given. Just be like a tiny vervet
but
monkey.
Guys, it's not a speed bike. It's a Harley. So
this is Sia.
You cruise down the road.
This is Sia. Moving will make him go, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Yeah,
how fast can they go?
They can go fast.
But we don't want that, right? We just want like a 60.
A Harley's not a racing bike. Right?
Yeah,
look, Gareth, if you're going 60 kilometers, you are going fast because you're on a bike, right? Yeah. You realize how fast you are on a bike when you fall off. Falling off at 40 is not great.
No. No,
can I tell you what my thing about a bike is particularly, and this is why I raised it as something I want to conquer. It's not about the actual, heaven forbid, if you get into an accident, because that, like, it happens. You can get into a car accident.
Yeah, you can get into an accident as a pedestrian.
But for me, with a bike, what's worse is the injury. So just think about it practically.
You're that much more exposed.
You'll knock into something and you'll fly off. And like your face will scrape on the tar of the,
My father always said to me, the two things that you're not going to do as long as I'm alive. Number one, you're not going to ride a bike, motorbike. Number two, you're not going to get a piercing. I've never really wanted a piercing, so I didn't have any objection to the second one.
Yeah.
But I kind of understand why he said that about bikes. You know, I've heard these stories about parents who take their kids to the emergency room to see all the other people who are in there with motorbike accidents.
Like a family road trip.
Yeah. just to stop them from with this obsession with the bikes.
That's actually good parenting.
It's terrifying, but yeah.
Yeah, you should also do the same for children. Having children. Take them to a newborn
labor ward. And just, no.
Listen, have you ever heard Elon Musk speak? Have you heard his accent? He's still very much a South African accent.
Really? Please don't tell me he's a butt.
No.
Okay.
But listen to how he doesn't sound like that.
He just locks.
Yeah. No, not even.
Not even.
Listen.
What is it
that you have that so many people who are
this is an interviewer.
Brilliant at engineering or are incredibly good managers or bold business people or what have you, what is it that you have, do you think, that enables you to make this stuff happen?
Well, I still don't think I can, you know, do anything or do most things that people think are impossible, because I think a lot of people of what people think is impossible is actually impossible. So, but you know, occasionally it's not. I guess I don't think I've said this before. I think it's helpful to have kind of a physics framework for looking at things. Do a first principles analysis, look for negative feedback, and really believe in what you're doing, but not just from a blind faith standpoint. Like, to have really thought about it and say, okay, this is true. I'm convinced it's true, and I've tried every angle to figure out if it's untrue, and sort negative feedback to figure out maybe if I'm maybe wrong. But then after all that, it still seems like this is the right way to go.
It still sounds South African.
I can't tell. You didn't finish a sentence in all
yeah,
that.
I don't know. But I did want to say, because I'm like, you know, well, yeah, his brain is over-functioning and processing.
No wonder we're not going to Mars. This guy's in charge. When he gets like...
Ben thinks he's an inarticulate mess.
So he's in the middle of trying to pitch the idea of Mars.
There was a battery car, 2057.
Rubbish, he did say that it's useful to have a physics framework for how you view the world. That I could take out of what he said. And that he said he likes to see what's true. He likes to see objective truth.
I reckon this guy is like the Mabali Maloy of science. He's got a whole bunch of scientists in the Gibb bunker downstairs, and he just gets everything from them. It's like, right, I need a battery that's going to power a house. Okay, Elon, okay. And then he just whips them.
Well, he does say something here. He does say something here that I totally agree with. If you need inspiring words, you shouldn't do something. Listen to this.
Then... That I think gives one a fundamental conviction and an ability to convey that conviction to others, and to convince them to join. And that's what a company is. It's a group of people who come together to create a product of some kind. And so if you can convey that and answer the concerns that people have, convince them that this is something that needs to be done, it's important, and here is a path to do it, even if that path has a lot of danger associated with it, and risk, and maybe it won't succeed. But people can understand, okay, this is why it's important, and even if the odds are that it won't succeed, it's worth trying to do it. Then I think you can create a great company.
Sorry, I'm dizzy. How many circles did we go in there?
Okay, yeah, he doesn't finish a sentence. It's a good point that you make, Ben.
He doesn't finish projects either. So it's like, it's going to break. Like,
have you seen that
self-driving car? It crashes, and then he's like, well, just not going to finish this.
That's not true. Have you seen the new Tesla?
Yeah, they're amazing cars.
Beautiful car.
I
never thought electric cars could be that good looking. A couple of them driving around in Texas.
Yeah, and I heard there's a little... like a little satellite office that they've now opened up in Cape Town. It's very, very small.
Oh, really?
But they're trying to, yeah, it's very like, no one knows of it. And
would you
still
buy an electric car?
Sure.
Well, yeah, what was I reading? Where it was looking, some trend analyst was talking about the fact that the emergence of electric cars could come to South Africa by 2020. In 3 years' time.
It'd be nice. There are a couple of them, you know, driving around here, but not a lot. And obviously you need to have places where you can charge. Otherwise, your car's just going to be left on the side of the road. I watched something else that was worth commenting on this morning. The Grand Tour. The new Clarkson May Hammond show.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw them driving through Namibia in a two-part episode, two episodes of this show. It was brilliant.
Well, it is just Tokyo with more money.
No, but I loved it. It was so good. They showed off Namibia. They were driving around in beach buggies.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much fun. I found myself laughing out loud at certain things. It was really, really clever. And I loved it. I just, those guys are really good. They're worth every cent Amazon is paying to put that show together.
That good, huh?
I think so, Ben. I think so. I found it very, listen, I haven't watched Top Gear in years.
Dorian, so, no one has.
Right. So I found myself falling out of love with the whole idea, and I don't really care that much about cars. But watching this thing for the first time with fresh eyes, I loved it. I can't recommend it enough. The Grand Tour. I'm going to watch every episode now until I get bored, which will happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
You know.
Look, it's obviously elements of that are really, really great. And when you have that much budget, you can do amazing things.
I mean, they
not
were
to say they're completely talentless, but
no, they're
the
so
production
good.
Is so good.
The things it. That they were, the stuff they do, the relationship between those three guys, the way they take the piss out of each other. Look, it's a guy's show. I can't imagine a lot of women will watch it.
Mm.
There's not a lot of, you know, emotional depth going on there. It's very much three British guys with a very dry sense of humor taking the piss out of each other. But that's kind of the thing that a lot of guys like. And I loved it. I just loved that show. I wanted to be on that show.
Hmm.
I wanted to be a cameraman on that show. I think it would be fun.
But that really is like everyone thought their jobs in Top Gear were the best jobs ever. What they've got now is they get to travel the entire world. So it's like, what would you like to do? What we have been doing, but across the entire globe.
Yeah, it's just the best.
Kind of the brief there.
The best.
You know, Amazon doesn't release ratings, so we don't know what the Grand Tour has, like, actually amounted to. But I'd be interested to see, like, the comparison between Top Gear and the Grand Tour and see what has happened.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, those won't exist because the biggest rating is what Gareth's just done. He's just spoken about it for 3 minutes. You get people who speak about the show, you know it's doing good.
Mm.
You got into a rating where someone's trumped up some figures based on like
but actual viewership as well. Actual viewership. Yeah, because Top Gear is now sitting on, they said just last year alone, started at 6.4 million viewers, but slid down to 3 million. So I think a lot of people just were interested to see how it goes.
Yeah.
And they haven't, so like Matt
LeBlanc.
Well,
I think if you just look at the share platform Amazon's on, of course, you have to go there. It's a pay-per-view thing. BBC was, you could sit there, you know,
in your
urine-infested pants on the doll. You could be watching him.
Did you have to use that example, mate?
Well, you got to look at
all
certain
right.
demographics.
Listen, we've got Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to carry on talking nonsense. And I hope you'll join us on all of those days. Romy and Rami coming up next with Belighted, that's coming up. And then, of course, the bounce. Ben, what are you doing again? You're doing controversial rugby stuff.
We're talking rugby and shaving today. It's a bit of a game of two halves.
Shaving.
Rugby and shaving.
Because those two just go together.
Well, they don't.
All right. Here is some news. The robbery at the Chief Justice's office over the weekend. It's a big story right now. There's a great deal of finger-pointing taking place in political circles, but currently no suspects have been apprehended. In other news, the Sachsenwald Tribune has been implementing new conferencing facilities with 15 state-of-the-art computers available to guests. Isn't that interesting? And then a security guard from OR Tambo has reportedly just acquired a Lamborghini. In the aftermath of the huge money heist that took place at the international airport, this is naturally suspicious. The security guard disagrees, however, saying he merely swapped cars with a guy from Gumtree. The unknown man really wanted a 2001 Opel Corsa with 180,000 Ks on the clock, so the security guard obliged, made the swap, ended up with a Lamborghini. And finally, the Proteas have some extra time off after beating the Black Caps in 3 days. Being in New Zealand, though, they were reminded that there's very little to do other than try and drink. The girls pretty. So Faf du Plessis has assured the media that they will be taking the next test to the full 5 days. We will see you Wednesday. Tomorrow's a holiday. And join us then. Rami and Romeo next. Be good. CliffCentral.com.